the believers. As-salamu alaykum. Y'all feel good?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Akmaduhu Wastadinhu Wastadihi Wastafilrahu. Ashadu la ilaha illahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna Muhammada abduhu rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala karila musallim Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. Shukran. All praise is due to Allah. I praise him. I seek him. I seek his assistance. I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. All praise due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah, who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayat. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my favor and my blessings upon you. Smiling my blessings and my favor upon you, chose Al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah, who united the hearts of the believers with Al-Islam and has made it an obligation to stay united and had made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise myself first to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa for Allah, the Most High, and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, again, I greet you. As-salamu alaykum. Jumma Mubarak. We're having the difficulties with our connections, but you know, I had a feeling something like this might happen, and by the end of it, you'll know why. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alam ahud ilaykum ya bani adama illa ta'budu tabudus badu du shaitana innahu lekum adubun mubin wa inna akdu akbudu fi hadda sirat al mustaqim wa laqad adala minkum jibilan kathiran afalam yakunu taqilun. We say salat Allah wadeen. That is, I seek refuge against the rejected, the shaitan. The expression is, did I not enjoin on you, O children of Adam, that you should not worship Satan, since he is an open enemy, and serve me alone. This is the straight way. Still, he misguided a whole throng of you. Did you have no sense? And this is the 60th through the 67th ayat of Surah Yasin 36 of the Quran. And we say, surely Allah speaks the truth. The 62nd through the 60th through the 67th ayat of Surah 36. Today's clip by title, inshallah, is Our Worship is Sacred. Our Worship is Sacred. Reported hadith from Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him. He reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Satan awakens in the morning, he dispatches his troops saying, whoever misguides a Muslim today, I will dress him with a crown. And this one will go out. I did not leave him alone. He said, Satan will say, a Muslim is about to get married. And then this one will go out and say, I did not leave him alone until he divorced his wife. And then Satan will say, a Muslim is about to be good to his parents. And one will come out and say, I did not leave him alone until he disrespected his parents. And Satan will say, and you. And another one will come out and say, I did not leave him until he committed adultery. And another one will come out and say, I did not leave him alone until he committed. He will come out and say, I did not leave him alone until he killed someone. And Satan will say, and you. And then he will dress them with a crown. And now reporting from a hadith of Muhammad. It's reported he has said that your Lord Almighty has said, O son of Adam, be free from my worship. I will fill your heart with richness and fill your hands with provision. O son of Adam, do not distance yourself from me, or else I will fill your heart with poverty and fill your hands with worthless distractions. Last reporting. It's three ayats, so it's kind of, they all kind of go to something. So Abu Huraira, running line, he said, the prophet said, there is none born among the offspring of Adam, but Satan doesn't touch it. A child, therefore, cries loudly at the time of birth because of the touch of Satan, except Mary and her child. And do Abu Huraira is reported to have recited, I seek refuge with you for her and her offspring from the outcast Satan. So Alhamdulillah, who has allowed us again to come together to take a break from the world that's around us. And we have said to ourselves that this is an important time for us. And this has taken control of us to be here. And this is what we're created to do. We're created to understand. We're created to reflect. We're created to take this time out to put Allah on our mind. Because we are servants of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we think about our creation, we firstly have to come to the understanding that we are created. We are created, no doubt about that. But not just the physical creation that was from our parents who were used as a vessel, but we are the creation in the Qadr, the will of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So working our way to gain that full understanding, we have to look at this presentation for today's ayat from the Quran, in Allah's last revealed book to humanity. Allah, he says to us, Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani adama, right? Do not enjoin, did I not enjoin on you, O children of Adam? And when Allah, highly glorified is he, is addressing something, normally it's something that will get our attention, something that will get our attention. So this Elam is a negative particle. And today, you know, that's, it's like when your parents were coming at you about something and you knew that first thing they was going to be, it was going to be negative because you're going to get in trouble. But this is so much bigger because Allah is Akbar. Allah is greater. Allah is greater than anything that we can imagine. So now what our mother and father would say to us, didn't I tell you about this? Didn't I tell you about that? It had a weight. It had a weight to it. So as the human that was created by God, why wouldn't the same thing happen when Allah says it to us? So I start with bringing up our parents, right? Didn't I tell you? But this is what Allah is saying to us right now. Didn't I enjoin? Didn't I impose upon you? This is telling us that I, Allah speaking, have already done something, right? Did not. It's saying that I have already done something in the expression. Didn't I already tell you? But in the grammar, the ahad means adjoin, it means impose, but and the word is in the present tense. That's right now. So when we read in Quran, you are hearing, you're thinking, you're acting on Allah speaking to you. These are his words to us, right? So the present tense means that things are currently happening. Now, with that in mind, it's important to put that in your mind, but it's also important to put that in your heart, to accept that, our soul, right? If it's present tense, then Allah is giving it to us right now. But we also understand that there's some past tense in this too as well. And I need us to understand that's the bigger picture, right? When we were created as Adam, alayhi salam, that first Adam, right? We were placed into the paradise. We were told by Allah that, we are told by Allah that we are one soul. We are one soul. So we are all Adam. Each one of us is that Adam, right? Allah says in the ayah, Ya Bani Adama, right? Children of Adam. Now that should make it a little easier, a little move it closer to understanding that we come from the same Adam, right? But if we are the children of Adam, then why is Allah saying Alam Ahad Ilaykum Ya Bani Adama? Because he is reminding us that what our first father went through. When Allah placed Adam into the paradise, he gave him instructions, right? He gave him instructions. And see, this ahad, it also means covenant, right? Allah is addressing us as the children of Adam because he has made a covenant with us. He has made a covenant with us. When Allah says, and when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, and made them testify, am I not your Lord? They said, yes, we have testified, lest you say on the day of the resurrection, the day of judgment, indeed, you were unaware. So when you have testified to something, you witnessed, we made witness, we've had a witness, you acknowledge something, then that's an agreement. Yeah, I agree. You are who you are and I am who I am. We're in agreement with that. That's testified. So that's a covenant. That's an agreement that you have. That Allah is our rock. He is our sustainer, right? And as Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah defines that the rock, it means our caretaker. And with that in mind, then we hear Allah is telling us that, did I not already make a covenant with you, the children of Adam? Right? And when you read through these ayats, this is what's going to be the series of ayats is Allah basically addressing those who have left this life and are at the judgment stage. So he's addressing those who have done right. He's also addressing those who have done wrong. But as we know, that happens in our life as well. So when Adam was created as the intellect, right, and that was placed into the paradise and given instructions, we have to understand that state that he was in, that state of being, rather. This was humanity as a whole, right, the one soul. Imam Muhammad also said this. He said that Adam represents that one physical type at that point in time, that had not dawned on into the consciousness of man yet, right? Remember, he was placed there, but Allah said, I'm going to create a man, and I'm going to give him of my ruh. But at that point in time, it hadn't happened yet. He also said he had not become educated as to what is this type, right? Thinking Santa. What is this life? What is this nature? He could not describe it. He was just living it naturally, right? So this goes to that sort of an unconscious state. There was no ability to be aware of something yet. It was in the innocence. It's the same innocence that we're all at some point, right? That original nature. The prophet, peace be upon him, said that all of us are born on the fitra. All of us are born on the fitra, that original nature, but it's our circumstances that happen that take us out of that original nature, right? And so for Adam, alayhi salam, it was there in that environment that something happened that took him out of that original nature, because it was something there in that environment that was placed there that was against that nature. It was something placed there that was against that nature. As I close this first part, it was something against Adam and the Bani Adam, right? Against the children of Adam, right? And we know this to be the shaitan. We know this to be the shaitan. He came to Adam, alayhi salam, as what? Allah told us. He said, and he swore by them, to them, indeed, I am to you from among your sincere advisors. All right? Allah says, and let the budul shaitan, right? And that you should not worship Satan, right? But he's coming as an advisor. You think of somebody that has some advice for you, is looking for your best interests. So I have made a covenant with you, Allah speaking, that you should never worship Satan, Shaitan, right? Dabudu, right? Worship, serve, adore. Allah has imposed on us that we should never, under no circumstances, adore, obey, submit to the Shaitan. And we're not just talking the physical sajda, right? Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So our worship is sacred. Our worship is sacred. Imam Muhammad, he said that the shaitan is the one who is here to influence our life to be diseased and weak. Okay? So the shaitan is far from the truth. Far from the truth. And Allah, being the ultimate truth, the ultimate reality, so shaitan wants to take us away from that. Allah is telling us not to worship something that is away from me. It is also away from the mercy of Allah, right? And we know that the rahmah as means a womb. So it's like you get outside. So if you think about a bird in a nest, right? Even when a bird comes out the nest and grows up, it still goes to make, it makes another nest. So if you think about being away from Allah's mercy, is that you stepped out of where his mercy is and you out here. That means you've left your nest, right? The goal is to be that sincere advisor, right? That's what the shaitan wants to be, right? But the one who withdraws after he whispers, right? One who will not take credit for our actions. He won't take credit for it, right? Now, something that we have to deal with that is that this shaitan, the Satan, as he's known in scripture and other scriptures, is not that figure that we see in the movies, okay? That image. And then when you look at that, see how the use of image is a sign for us in this world. They use images in this world that's influenced by the shaitan. The use of images give a whole different type of influence on people, right? The point I'm making with this is this. The image is not who Allah is warning us against. He is a warning against that nature that goes against the nature we have been given. And that is to recognize that Allah, our Lord, our creator, our sustainer, our caretaker, has the controls over the heavens and the earth and all that is in between, before and after and present, right? Our original nature is designed to automatically bring us to Allah. That's what the design of the original nature is. That's why I always say we with the DNA of taqwa, right? And we also have the ability. Now, remember, we also have the ability to stay in that darkness, the fujulat, right? We have the ability to stay in that darkness. And what do they call the Satan? The prince of darkness, right? But what is darkness? Darkness is ignorance. Darkness is miseducation, right? When the Iblis refused to bow down to the will of Allah, and we should have read this morning. If you haven't read 18, you should have read it. Going to read it in 18 because Allah reminds us of this every Friday. Say when he refused to bow down to the will of Allah in the terms of our creation, he went against the truth. First of all, he wanted to keep it dark. When he refused to bow down to the creation that would be over something he thought that he should be over, he went against the will of Allah. This means he put his desires over what Allah wanted. See, that's what we're being warned to do, right? Don't put our own wills over what Allah has designed for us. You know, we don't need horns and a pitchfork to see that. We know that whenever we are, you know, in our own minds and in our own hearts, that's what we have to be looking for. That decide to go against what Allah has done is doing something that is shaitanic. That's doing something that's shaitanic. It was a choice that was made. And now we have Allah telling us that do not make this choice to worship something that will bring you nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble, right? This is the warning we have been given as the children of Adam, alayhi salam. Because each child is under the threat. Each child is under the threat because each child is Adam. And every child that comes is the Adams that are to come, right? So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said there is no child among the offspring of Adam that the Satan doesn't touch at the time of birth. So when we look at this, we have to get away from the image and look at what is behind things. When someone that worships the shaitan, right, the Satan, right, we have been given images of somebody wearing black fingernail polish. They got black hair. They'll put the star in the middle of it, put burning. We've been given that image. There's a certain look to somebody that worships Satan, right? But that's not the shaitan we've been commanded to stay away from, right? The worshipers of this type of nature, they call him God as well. They call him God just like we say God, right? Allah says they have created the jinn and men were created by Allah for his worship, right? So they've set up jinns and men's to be partners with Allah. Right? To be their robs, right? To be, it's ideals, it's ideologies, it's theories, it's materials. This is what they worship. These are the types that wear suits. They run companies, they run countries. They have education. They are living a life just like what we are to be living, except one thing's different. They worship, they serve, they obey that shaitanic nature inside of them. So have you ever heard the phrase, you sold your soul to the devil? When you have something to live that the way of life, then you have given one thing that is sacred to that nature. So if you have set your way to live al-Islam, then you have given yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you have given yourself to another way that's against that nature, then you have given yourself to the shaitan. See, it's that arrogance, right? That disobedience. That's going against the will of Allah. It's not a physical form. It's the spiritual form. Because you have to commit to it first spiritual. Then you can put it in place in the physical. Remember, it all happened in the paradise. We were shown what the disobedience can do to you in the paradise, right? If Adam was an intellect and he was told to do to do all that he wished to do, but then he was given something not to do, and it was the shaitan that made him slip, right? Made him slip, right? This enemy. Allah says he's an enemy. This is what Allah has told us, and since he's an open enemy, right? See, an open enemy is someone who's actively opposed to something. You can turn the TV on, you'll see open enemies of a lot of things, right? If every child is touched by the shaitan, then this let us know that, quote unquote, game is on. Game is on. But it's a baby. Baby doesn't know. That's why we're instructed. When that baby comes out, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah. Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha. First thing that baby should hear is Al-Fatiha. The whole 9 months inside of that womb shouldn't be in darkness for that baby. That baby should already know about Allah. Already be hearing Quran. Even if you read it in English, the expression. Because the shaitan and his hosts, his children, as Allah says, his army, they lay in places that we cannot see them. The point being is that if we only look for this nature in an image, then we'll miss the subtleness of what we're up against. This is how those who worship shaitan, they thrive, right? The distraction, the misleadings, the wag-a-dog scenarios. They get your mind on stuff and you don't even see what they're doing on the backside, right? This is why we were told in the Quran that the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him, stay up on the hill no matter what you see happen down here. Do not leave your back uncovered. Why are we being told that now if it happened then? It's because they will come from all directions, before, behind, to the sides, right? This is our enemy. Our clear and present danger is not what they tell us on TV. It is the shaitan. Why? Because Allah, highly glorified is he, has told us that. When Allah says he is a dual wound, right? He is telling us that this is an enemy, but he's also saying that the shaitan is injustice to yourself. It is hostility to your own souls. It is like if we drink something and we know it's poison. So if somebody tell you you can beat COVID by drinking bleach, it will make your bodies do something that would be deadly to you. This is what the adu'un means, right? It's a punishment, right? Worship Satan is a punishment to ourselves. And we should have no doubt about this. This is our number one enemy. Allah says, mubinun, right? Mubinun, right? It's banna, right? Clear, distinct. He is a clear enemy. You ain't gotta move the branches to see that he's standing right there in front of you. It's an obvious enemy. And this being in the fourth form, this means that something has caused this to happen. That what has caused us to have something so evil, so against our original nature, right? So against us becoming the creation that the Creator designed for us. The simple fact of that is pride. Pride. When Allah said that he told them all to bow down and he wouldn't bow down, that's pride. To start, right, we see the pride as the common denominator. When we look at the current world issues right now, what is it all about? Pride. Not in this country, pride. Outside what's happening in this country, pride. It's all about pride. Pride is the cause. When you cannot accept what the Rabb of all the systems of knowledge, that means everything, right, has done, that is what the shaitan is, right? And that is what they are worshiping, right? All of these things that the shaitan is trying to get us are in areas that we should be without doubt. He's going to try to get us in areas that should be without doubt. The little things, right? The Prophet said that he has given up all hope of trying to get you in the big things, he's going to get you in the little things, right? Our purpose is to stay away from anything that does not worship Allah. The goal of the shaitan is to show us unworthy, ungrateful, unreliable, arrogant, prideful. Think about the seven sins. The seven sins: pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, laziness. But it's the little things that he will attack us with, right? This means that we have to work to protect ourselves, right? The devil is in the details. You ever heard that saying? The devil's in the details. The little things add up. He wakes up to get us. This is how we have to wake up to protect us, right? Said he wakes up and he says to everybody, I need somebody to misguide a Muslim today, right? When we look at that, the Satan wakes up to stop us, and he looks to have us misguided, right? He wants us not to just to divorce our wives. Okay, think about that. He said, divorce their wives, right? This means we come separated from the community. If a husband and wife are not together, there's no children. There's no community. There's no community, right? Disrespecting our parents, right? This means we have disrespect for our past. If you don't have no parents, you're not here. That's a disrespectful for our past, for understanding what they went through. I understand what this community went through for me to be right here right now. I'm not going to disrespect that past, right? It's also disrespect to our creator, right? We are commanded not to put any trust into the shaitan, right? When you worship something, you trust it, right? You have to have some trust to worship something. And trust, our trust is one of the most treasured things that we have. It's sacred. It's sacred. And I'm going to end with this. It's a fable that when humans and animals coexisted, there was a crab and a spider who were close. And out of the three companions, the animals and the crab, spider, and the human, the crab was the most emphatic, right? He helped his friends eagerly whenever they faced a hardship. So one day the spider asked the crab, could you loan me your head? And as always, the crab agreed to give the spider his head. So the crab, he wondered where the crab, I'm sorry, the spider wondered where the crab's head to the chief's house. Because the chief had summoned the spider who was suspected of doing something wrong. Very grave, grave offense. And when the chief and his counsel heard the case, the spider was found guilty and given capital punishment by beheading. Now the spider understood that the head didn't belong to him. Right? So he didn't protest. He said, go ahead and cut it off. He recognized his guilt, and the head was cut. The crab waited in his home in vain for the spider to come back with his head. Until this day, the spider has never shown up, and they have never crossed paths. So the creator felt sorry for the crab and his tragedy, and he decided to mold him a whole new head. He gave him a mouth, he gave him teeth, and he gave him a pair of pinchers to defend himself, right? And so it was on, you know. And so to this day, that crab is still looking for the spider with his pinchers. The moral of the story is trust has a price. And it's very expensive. And regardless of how emphatic you are, ensure that your trust is earned and not given. This is everything you undertake. Your business, your career, your life, your family, everything. You don't just give your trust to something just because. In everything, it has to show the value of your trust. It's not cheap. Brothers and sisters, the first step of this was these ayats, this ayat right here. But the trust has to be earned. And who has earned that complete trust but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The shaitan is going to do just what that spider did. He's going to do everything dirty, and then we're going to take the beheading. We're going to lose our head. What does head represent? Our intellect, right? The spider does not want anything to survive and does not care if the crab does, right? This is what the shaitan has done. He will use this for his own games, and headless also means no leadership. No leadership. We can see that today. There's a leadership problem in the world because there's too many that are worshiping the shaitan. And because the covenant of Allah has not been kept yet. Yet. We have to look at that. Did I not enjoin on you, O children of Adam, that you should not worship Satan, since he is an open enemy? Our worship is sacred. Now, inshallah, have given us up in the benefit of the day, which all praise due to Allah. May we have pleased Allah in this effort. Rabbi, now talk about minna indika as-sami'olim. O our sustainer, accept thou this from us, for there thou art alone, all-hearing, all-knowing. Ameen.